The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, has astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe that all that the prophets spoke! Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were open and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found God together, the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
It boggles my mind why there's even a discussion concerning the existence of Jesus. Do you know that? There in the History Channel, was Jesus real? No? Why would they waste and spend millions of dollars just to prove or disprove the existence of Christ? No? Let's say, let these people in the media ask, did the prophet Muhammad exist? You know, something against the Muslim. We shall see if they have the guts to question anything that sounds Muslim. See, in our society nowadays, they mock Christianity. They know that, no? They easily mock Christianity, they mock Christ. They even made cartoons of Christ just to insult and doubt and just put down Christ as if he suffered enough. Let's face it, he really suffered. But still nowadays, there are still some people really
go for the jugular and even doubt his existence. Even the Muslims wrote about Christ. Do you know that? Okay? So even the Muslims deny, or not deny, but acknowledge Christ as existing. He was, of course, considered by them only a prophet, not greater than the prophet Muhammad. So all of us here, yes, we call ourselves Catholics, and I hope you understand that being Catholic means being Christian, because some of you are still kind of hesitant. Am I Catholic or am I Christian? Of course you're Christian. The thing is, we all only call ourselves Catholic because of St. Ignatius, wherein he first used the word Catholicos. And Catholicos means what? Universal. So all Christians should be Catholicos. But they don't want the word Catholicos because it's been used for many centuries and it reminds them of Rome, of the papacy, of the old church, of the first church. So some Christians think that Catholics are not Christians. And it shows what? Ignorance. Yes? If you encounter any so-called Christian and tells you and I that we are not Christian but we are Catholic, just tell them right in their face how ignorant you are. Yes? Can you do that? Say it! Go ahead, say it! Even with your friends. Are you gutsy now? Oh, no, Father, I don't want to lose my friends. Come on! Take a chance. Tell them right in their face, hey, all Catholics are Christians. And you, Christians, should be Catholic. You don't want it? That's not my problem. But the point is today, here is Christ. He was explaining to these two disciples about himself. No? Why? Because the Jews had a preconceived idea of what the Messiah should be doing. And you heard him, Cleopas saying, we thought he would redeem Israel. See? They thought that the Messiah was a political leader, somebody who will free them from whom? From the Roman Empire. So when he was crucified like that, they didn't like that idea of crucifixion. And still, Christ told them, it's in the scriptures, listen, look at it, that he's supposed to suffer and die. See, the problem with people, anything negative, they deny. No? Just because it's so dramatic or painful, they deny. Like some of you, when there's a death in a family, you don't bring your children or your grandchildren to the funeral, as if you want them to what? To be protected from the pain of death. Come on, that's life. No? So don't deny this. Don't deny that life is cruel. You know, that people are cruel. But even though people can be cruel, what happened? Christ will never abandon us. That's the thing. Whatever life gives you, your own family rejecting you, humiliating you, denying you, don't worry about it, because you're never alone. Christ is here with you. And when he showed himself to the disciples, that is what he was trying to say. Hey, I'm with you. This so-called road to Emmaus, full of doubt, full of fear, full of anxiety, even anger and confusion. But Christ walked with them and explained to them that he is alive. And of course, ultimately, the experience of the presence of Christ was shown or revealed through the breaking of the bread. So all Christians should have the Eucharist, because they, these disciples, encountered Christ and realized who he was when he broke the bread, said the blessing, and gave it to them. So it saddens me a lot when many profess to be Christians but deny the very gift of Christ's presence in the Eucharist. And they use the Bible, they say they know the Bible as if they own it. But even the Bible in the Acts of the Apostles already revealed the Eucharist. And still, they don't want it. Why? Because, let's face it, to acknowledge the Eucharist is to acknowledge the priesthood. To acknowledge the priesthood, you have to acknowledge what? The hierarchy of the church, the presence of the Pope, of the bishops. Many Christian denominations don't have any more priests. Do you know that? When you go to the Baptist church, sad to say, they have very good preachers, but they don't have what? Priests. You know? They cannot tell the preacher, hey, pray for me. Why? Because a preacher's prayer is no different than the prayer of the lay. While me, as your priest, when I lift up your prayer to God, it's different. Do you know that? Huh? I hope you know that there's a difference. Not because I'm holier than you, but because God gave me the role to lift your prayers to Him. I'm the, what you call, conduit? Conduit thingy or something, you know? Electric thing, you know? So the thing is, the Eucharist is very much connected to the priesthood, and many of our Christian brothers and sisters, sad to say, have denied that. But the point is, how about you? You and I, as Catholics, are we really coming here solely for the Eucharist? No? Because, let's face it, we have here a different kind of levels of faith. No? Some still come here because they're obliged. Some come here because simply because they feel like it. Or because of whatever it is. You want to be entertained. Let's face it. Why do you think there are some Catholics who go to Christian denominations? Because they can easily let go of this, of the Eucharist, and just want to be entertained. Want to belong to a happy church. But they really are not what? Totally, madly in love with the Eucharist. See, in my case, no. As an Adorno priest, part of our order is to give importance to the perpetual adoration of the Eucharist. We are one of the early orders who advocated and made it part of our constitution to have a 24-hour devotion to the Eucharist, because that's who we are. All Christians should have that. So, my dear friends, the road to Emmaus, all of us, we have the road to go back to God. And the reality is, there are many potholes, many challenges, many temptations. Now, it is up to you to think you can do it on your own, to go to God on your own, or to depend on Jesus. And when you say you depend on Jesus, you depend on the gifts He has given us. The gift of the Eucharist, the gift of confession, the gift of the priesthood, the gift of the church. So many gifts to guide you, to strengthen you, to enlighten you, so that you will not be confused and go straight to God. But these are gifts. You want it? Embrace it. Don't pick and choose what to want. Because some of you also, they receive the Eucharist, but they don't go to confession. Is that good? No, it's not good. You can receive the Eucharist as if you don't have any stain of sin. No, I keep telling you. Priests, bishops, and the Pope, we go to confession every 2 weeks. Because we have a healthy sense of sin. We acknowledge our sinfulness, and we don't dare to receive the Lord with the stain of sin. Same thing with you. Make it regular. Yes, the minimum is once a year, but let's face it, how many of us sin every day? I think almost everybody here sin every day. So going to confession is a gift from Jesus. Embrace it, appreciate it, love it, because that is where you encounter the mercy of God. One time, last week, Divine Mercy. But Father, we need to put a big image of the Divine Mercy here. I said, what for? Oh, because it's Divine Mercy Sunday. So? Look at that! If you don't realize the Divine Mercy in that crucified Christ, even with this nice image, again, it's a nice image. It's a nice image of Jesus, yes? Wearing ching, 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 just like laser, zoom, you know? It's a nice image of Jesus, yes? Have you seen that? But that's no different or better than this. Yes or no? Do you agree or what? Huh? If you think it's separate, then you have a wrong theology. It's the same Christ. So having this image of the Divine Mercy is good. But you see at the crucified Christ, you are reminded of His mercy. And most of all, you receive Divine Mercy through what? Through the sacrament of penance. So stop talking about Divine Mercy if you don't go to confession anyway. Yes or no? Do you think by looking at an image of Christ, you will receive Divine Mercy? No. You will receive Divine Mercy just like everybody else, just like every Catholic, through the sacrament of confession. So the image only reminds us of God's love for you, of God's mercy. But you still have to approach the official way how to receive His Divine Mercy. And of course, the end product is what? That you yourself reflect ultimately to the people around you the Divine Mercy. So here you are. You have a devotion to the mercy of God. But if you end up only wanting to receive mercy but not merciful towards others, then your devotion is incomplete. Again, sometimes we don't use our head. We simply have the ritual without really understanding what it means. We don't want you to be like that, you know? My mom, I love her, but boy, she has all these images of Jesus, the Holy Child, the crucified Christ, the Sacred Heart. I said, Ma, why do you have so many pictures of Jesus? Oh, this one is cute. This one is... Same Jesus. Same Jesus Christ. One is enough. I don't know, is that a Catholic thing to collect statues? Huh? Or is that a confused Catholic thing? So what are you? Are you confused? Sentimental? Ritualistic Catholic? Or are you actually able to understand and actually are becoming like Jesus? Not my problem.